Phones were created to bring about better communication. But if not careful, they can create the illusion that everyone is better connected. But relationships will be only surface and shallow, especially our relationship with God. We must be cautious. We do not get too comfortable with the presence of the Lord that we forget what mighty miracles he did to get us where we are today. Moses would remind them again further in Deuteronomy chapter 7 why God was so good to them, and now why God is so good to us even when and if we forget his goodness. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. I didn't choose you because you were the biggest, baddest people on the block. I didn't choose you because you had it all together. As a matter of fact, he says, you were actually the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his promise, which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king Egypt. We must remind ourselves how Abraham, the father of that nation, addressed God. And he said, I am but dust coming to address you. We cannot forget who we are. He reminds us of who we are, who he is, what his purpose was, his commitment to them, and the description of his effort and his passion. Time after time after time, hear me, God had to remind the children of Israel to prove to the children of Israel that he was the God who brought them out of bondage. He was the God who, out of his heavenly arsenal, sent miracles, signs, and wonders for nothing less than to show his love. However, no matter how much Moses would preach to this generation, no matter how many banners, pins, headbands, wristbands, he reminded them to make to remember that God is one and that God is all. And in return, they should give their all. Instead, they did exactly what Moses feared and what God already knew. They created idols for themselves, became influenced by their world, blatantly disobeyed God, and on top of that, they still performed the motions of church without truly placing their entire focus on him. That's a dangerous place. To come to church every single Sunday and every single Wednesday, lift your hands and go through the motions. And I'm not saying that's sometimes all we can do, but to do that consistently, this was their MO. They even did more wrong than their parents had done before them. Their parents would never have sacrificed or put their babies in the fire, but their kids did. That's why, parents, hear me, it is vitally important to remain purely apostolic, to stay in this and remain faithful, because your kids will do leaps and bounds more than you ever will. Let me say that again. If you cannot, you got to make sure every single day you wake up, hey, Michael, the Lord, our God is one Lord, and you shall love him with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. They still fake church, giving God less than their whole heart and their whole soul and their whole might, having small pockets of revival where repentance was real. Like those moments when you go to a conference or a camp and anybody got that face? That face that nobody want to know and see? You snotting on the floor? Jesus, I'm so sorry. And you're emotionally there. You're emotionally, and you're serious about change. And you snot on the floor and produce real tears, but the impact is never enough to sustain a healthy walk with God. So Israel stumbled over the years with a few rulers, judges, prophets, preachers, and kings who did right in the sight of the Lord, but one leader was never enough to leave an impact strong enough to affect and influence an entire generation to follow God, and to do so with their whole heart, the whole mind, the whole soul, the whole strength, until finally, over decades, centuries, rulers, kings, judges, and prophets, God came himself to example what that looked like and to prove his love once and for all. The God of Israel, the creator of the universe, who created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And that same God who is before all things became not only the master engineer of the galaxies, but became the savior of the world. He displayed what it meant. He displayed what it meant to give your all because he gave his life. No matter how mundane that sounds in this church atmosphere, simply because we hear it all the time, I believe that every once in a while we should get undignified, lose a hairpin, take off the heels, lose the tie, and forget the hairdo, and simply by your personal expression, let out a cry that when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I cannot help but cry, hallelujah. Anybody else been saved by the blood? Anybody else want to do a lap? When's the last time you ran a lap for just a moment? We ought to thank God that when he came on the cross and he died for our sins, you ought to stand to your feet because God is greater and God is worthy to give all to. We ought to. We can't forget what passion is all about. We can't forget what it means to give God all. If all you have sometimes is a wave, then give a wave. But if you've got energy in your body, you ought to stand to your feet and you ought to give God all that you have every single time he has. Because why? He gave everything. He gave every ounce and every pound of his blood for you. Lest you get fat. Lest you get fat on the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. Let me remind the listeners today that he did not give himself on the cross and die for the kingdom so you could sit back and relax from the wealth of God's eternal gift of salvation. But he purposed you to give back to his kingdom. And not half-heartedly, not with a bad attitude, no, or with a lack of effort or passion. 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 The writer of Acts calls the gruesome story of grace on the cross the passion of Christ. Jesus paid for our sin with his life. That was the level of his passion. And I thought about this the other day, which means passion cannot be paid for. There's no amount of money anyone can pay me or you for your passion. There's no amount of zeros that can match your passion, because when you have passion for something, you'll do it whether you get paid for it or not. It exceeds your immediate wants and extends to accomplishing the ultimate goal. And for Jesus, his passion was saving us from our sin and bringing us closer to him. If we looked at it like in percentage, he gave 100%. Therefore, I began to ask God, you may be seated. Therefore, I began to ask God, how would you measure? How do you measure someone giving their all? Because I recognize something over the years, that not everyone's all is not the same. Everyone's all is just not the same. I'll say it again. My effort is not your effort. I don't pray for 2 hours a day. I don't fast 7 days a week. I'm not consistent in my Bible reading. And I miss more than a few meals before praying for my food because I'm hungry and so forth. And I believe he spoke to me and he said, I showed what all looks like on the cross. When someone is willing to lay down their wants, their desires, their dreams, their ambitions, their ideas, their time. When someone is willing to lay down their life, and he said, this is faith. That's what that is. This is faith. It is by that I will measure their all. He says, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. Thy good and faithful servant. At the end of our days, he's going to say, thy good and faithful servant. And how he measures that is how much you were willing to lay down for your life. He even says, if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you will save it. The Bible illustrates further the purpose of this, with one writer stating in Colossians that Jesus, in the body of his flesh, through death, did so to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. And that same writer in Romans would plead with this generation, and he would say, by the mercies of God, please present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Give me your ears, not your eyes. I need every head bowed. I don't need you looking at me. I need you thinking about him. Today, you have a choice. It's a difficult one by definition because it's a public expression of a private commitment, determination, and a passion to give your all to the man who gave his all for you. And as you still have your eyes closed, let me give you a mental picture of what this may look like or what this won't look like. It won't look subtle. It won't look half-hearted. In fact, it will not be silent. It may resemble brokenness, and it might get uncomfortable. But as a wise man once said, our walk with Jesus is a constant readjustment for an ever-present God. So before you respond, here are a few instructions on what to pray for when you arrive at this altar. The writer of Romans reveals two things we must do. Number one, it's to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And number two, renew our mind. Open your eyes for just a moment. I find it very interesting that when Jesus, matter of fact, Jaden, can you come help me? Danessa, can you come help me? I find it very interesting that when Jesus answers the scribe, in Deuteronomy 6:4, he doesn't really mention the mind. But later on, he adds it. He makes sure the mind is that he wanted to make sure that this generation understood that you can give your all on a lot of things, but you need to make sure you give your all your mind, because that is the conduit for which everything flows. Anyway. And so I'm recognizing that this generation has no problem presenting their bodies for the world to see. It's evident in the social arena. They simply struggle with presenting their bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. Now remember Cain. We cannot give of ourselves and consider that as giving all. We cannot give half of ourselves and consider that as giving all of us. But I am aware that many of us have sacrifice because our mind has yet to be renewed. Now, you've come to the altar time and time again with a change of emotion, but not a change of mind. So you can cry all you want to, but if you don't leave with a changed mind, a made-up mind. Like, I can have a made-up mind tonight because my stomach is growling that I'm going to make my way to KFC. I'm going to make up my mind. That's not even an emotional thing. That's a made-up mind. That's happening. If I mention the word guac right now, Layla may run over here, and she said, guac! And with emotion, she knows that's Chipotle run. And she's already made up in her mind, that's where we're going. We can pass, I don't even know how she sees it, but we'll pass Spy Spot. Or we'll pass the Golden Archers. And she's already made up in her mind, Nuggets. Why are we not stopping for Nuggets? She's already made up in her mind. It's not even an emotional thing. And I'm not saying that we're not going to get emotional tonight. But we do need to leave here with the changed mind. That two things are necessary to know. And if you get these two things down, the rest, I'm not saying it's simple, but the rest will follow. There is only one Lord. That's it. And his name is? And that one Jesus you shall love with all your heart. And with. The Greek way to say it was with your very muchness. The Amplified Bible, my wife was reading this afternoon, it means your entire being, you give it all. So number one, this is what we're going to pray, and I want to give the instructions. I'm not afraid of these awkward moments because I want you to know what you're going to do when you come up here. And this one's with me, with your mind, that God would heal how you think of him. Some have had a bad experience with their father, so to consider God as a father, it is unsafe and unreliable. Many have been in a situation where they assumed God would intervene and he didn't. Therefore, their view of God is tainted and one-sided, refusing to seek his goodness. We need a renewing of the mind that God is as great as he's ever been and always will be. You stand with me. Now, once we've renewed our mind and made up our mind, it is then very much easier to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. I just want to talk to the students for just a moment, and you guys can listen. Just be the fly on the wall. I wish I would have done this. Almost 4 years ago. There's probably an entire 3 or 4 rows that could be filled with students who have walked away. And we recognize over the years, my wife has watched them walk away, and we recognize that the reason why
because they were already originally not giving their all. They had already determined in their mind and their heart that they weren't going to give their all. Therefore, they're just going back and forth with emotions, and they always decided to leave. And therefore, when you don't give your all to this, I need everyone to die. When you don't give your all to this,
that means you're giving some percentage of yourself to something else. I'll be honest with you. I want 100% of my wife. I want 100% of her. She wants 100% of me. The same is with God. It's a marriage. He wants every single fiber of who you are. And when you don't, the Bible lets us know that he gets jealous. And so we wanted to know that what's the common denominator between what happens with students who stay and with students who don't. And it was this. And it's really with everybody. What happens is we get so comfortable with coming on Wednesday and Sunday, and we feel comfortable with the presence of the Lord that we really don't even know him. And so the breakup is easy. It's easy to break up with someone you don't know. If you have a shallow relationship with someone, it's easy to say deuces and give them that text. Either we need to talk or bye. But it's so much harder if you have a deep relationship with someone. deep relationship with someone, to break off that connection. It's very difficult. And so we want to know why they leave, why they never stay. It's not because they don't love you, because we take it personal. It's because they really never had a relationship with him. And it's not what the world says about, well, they fell out of love with me. No, love is a choice. So, which that means they never were there. They never had gotten there to that relationship. And the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 13, put those up. 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go that way. There's plenty of people who decide to go that way. I don't know why, but they decide. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Tonight in this altar call, I am asking anybody who wants to give their all. So this is what I call everything outside of this box here. This narrow place is what I call the danger zone. Every single thing out here is what I call the danger zone. But tonight as a church, we're going to signify. I am not the judge, but it's like separating the sheep and the goat. If you really want to give your all, once again, it won't look subtle. And it won't be silent. But it won't look like mine. It'll be you and your personality. When you pray and talk to God, it's got to be with you. Can't be like me, because it won't be genuine. And the relationship won't go deep. Bottom line. He'd be like, who's that? That ain't you. But if you come to these altars today, be as genuine as you know how. And make up in your mind tonight. I will be here with you. Make up in your mind tonight that I'm going to give him everything. I know for a fact that I could give him more. Because he deserves more. So as you come tonight, this is your altar call. This is the narrow gate. It's in this spot right here. Everything else is in the danger zone. If you want to stay out there all you want to, you can. But this is the place where I want to be. This is the place that I want to be, in the presence of the Lord. And I want to find that way. So without any more hesitance, if you can make it up to these altars, and if you can make it into this circle, we're going to become like a family today in this square. Get out of the danger zone and find yourself giving your all. I know it's going to be bunched in, but that's okay. So here's the instructions. Once again, I want everyone to lift your hands as you get in here. We're going to wait. We're going to wait. It's going to be okay. God's going to move in this place in a mighty way. I believe that. Wait till everyone gets settled in. You can lift your hands, you can begin to pray, but I'm going to give instruction. Connect students, how do we pray? How do we pray? With passion, with volume, and with authority. Can you show them what that looks like? Right now, we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to heal your mind of what you think about him and what you think about his church. So that way you can give him all your mind. You already can give him all your strength and all your soul with all your might. But let's pray right now and ask God to touch our mind. Lord, help my mind be clear. Help my mind be set on you and nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Help my mind be set on you and nothing else. Let nothing else get in the way. Give him your mind. Give him your mind. Lord, I pray for my friend right now.
I desire you.
Keep pushing for just a moment. Keep talking to the Lord for just a moment. Help my friend.
Give my all.